sense the fidelity of God to his promise. And so we have this first reading, you see, where the Holy Spirit makes God's servants faithful as well. As you remember, this was this first reading. David had said to Nathan, his prophet, his sort of spiritual director, "Look at me in this beast house, and the Ark of the Covenant is out in a tent. I've got to do something about that." Nathan said, "Well, all right then." But that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. "Go tell my servant David," and then, trying to save time, I guess, the editors skip a lot. How many times a year do we have St. Joseph's Big Feast Day? Why don't we just hear the whole thing, right? Anyway, just we don't have it. It starts off there, "David, listen, you're not going to build me a house. I'm going to build you a house, the house of David. And then, when your time comes and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your seed after you, sprung from your loins, and I will make his kingdom firm. It is he who will build a house for me, and I will make his royal throne firm forever. I will be a father to him. I, Almighty God, will be a father to him. And he will be a son to me." Hidden there is the promise of what's coming. When the real, eternal, divine Son of God becomes a son of David and rules and builds not just the temple, which has been in ruins now. Well, the first, the one that Solomon built since 586, the one that Herod built since about the year 70 of our era. Not that one. But the real house of David, the church, built on Jesus, the son of David. Well, how did Jesus get to be son of David? Tune in and you'll find out. Then we have this beautiful thing, Paul, you see. And this goes back to Abraham. God had a plan from all eternity. So after the sin and the mess, you know, sin after sin after sin, Cain kills Abel, Lamech bursts, boasts of killing any seven people who strike him, all the way through the flood, and finally the worst sin of all, world government. That is, when they all gather together to make a city with a tower in it that goes up to heaven, and we'll be safe. And God disperses them. And then we're used to now, we're waiting for a remedy, as it was a remedy. Cain was protected by God by giving him a sign. All the way through, there was a remedy. Noah was a remedy. And now, where's the remedy for this universal disaster? All of a sudden, we hear about this fellow, Abram, son of Terah. Unknown, no reputation, not a big shot. The only thing we know about him, his wife was barren. That's the one God picked. And he said to him, "Abram, lech lecha, go. I'm going to make you a nomad of faith. Go wherever I show you to go." That's all he knows. He might have wound up Montgomery Village, except you'd have to take a boat. You just lech lecha. You go, leave your house, your nation, your land, your father's house, your clan, and go. Rootless, cut off from everything, to a land I will show you. And Abraham, and he went, obedience. And that's the beginning of salvation history. Right there. And so that's what Paul is talking about. Huh? Faith. Faith is not a warm fuzzy, and it's not intellectual loyalty to some propositions. It is that. It's a living act of obedience and love directed directly to God. And that's why Joseph is called a righteous man. He's just. Like Abraham was just, Joseph. So now we're confronted with Joseph's dilemma. His wife, they've already made all the arrangements for the marriage. Only thing left is the big procession from her house to his, done in the evening after a big party all day, many days. You know the parable about the virgins didn't have their lamps? See, they were going to be in this big procession, the big parade, from the bride's house to the groom's house with their lamps. They had no oil. They missed the party. The Lord says, don't let that happen to you. And so, but notice, so what's going on here? Well, I'm going to give you an explanation which is in the Fathers of the Church and St. Bernard and is philologically more established, but it's not common. How did Joseph find out that Mary was pregnant? She told him. My God, they love each other. They're engaged. She told him. And she told him how it happened. And he said, this is too holy for me. And that's why he was going to set her aside. God, you do what you want, but this is too holy for me. Now notice how the angel talks to him. Joseph, son of David. God is going to fulfill the promise he made to David. There will be somebody on the throne and his kingdom will be forever. As the angel told Mary in Luke. Do not be afraid to take Mary. He was afraid to take Mary. This is beyond me. God conceived this child in Mary's womb. It's like Peter when there was a big catch of fish, right? Remember? And Peter said, get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Anybody who can do that is really close to God, whoever you are. And I don't want to get near that. And our Lord said, don't worry, Peter. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You just come follow me. So here now we have Joseph, son of David. You see, do not be afraid. Now finally, how does Jesus become son of David? Because the son of David names him. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus. You are the father of that child in the spirit, and so he is the son of David. So when Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. Obedient. God said to Abraham, go. He went. God, through the angel, says to Joseph, take Mary. Don't worry about it. And he took her into his home because he is a righteous man.